Hi, this is Pastor John Koopman of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Mankato. We are a congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that strives to embody the historic teachings and practices of the Christian Church as found in the sacred scriptures. If you enjoy or have questions about this brief message, please get in touch with us. Our building is located at 1103 North Broad Street in Mankato. We have divine service at 8 o'clock and 10:30 on Sunday mornings, with Bible class and Sunday school between at 9:15. Again, this is Pastor John Koopman of Our Savior's Lutheran Church, and thanks for listening. The Gospel reading for Septuagesima Sunday is from Matthew chapter 20. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and to them he said, 'You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right I will give you.' So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing, and he said to them, 'Why do you stand here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You go into the vineyard too.' And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first.' And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day in the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?' So the last will be first, and the first last." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Let us pray. O Lord, graciously hear the prayers of your people, that we who justly suffer the consequence of our sin may be mercifully delivered by your goodness to the glory of your name. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I suspect that the parable of the laborers in the vineyard is many people's most frustrating parable, because it's just so unfair. Many people experience this today with inflation, such that new hires often can make nearly the same as a longtime employee with loads of experience. Today's parable presents us with day laborers, some of whom began work at the crack of dawn and bore the burden of the day in the scorching heat, and others who showed up at the final hour and hardly did any work. Yet each of them received a denarius. So the longest working laborers point out the unfairness of the situation. "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day in the scorching heat." Indeed, the situation is entirely unfair. The lazy bums are made equal to the most tiresome laborers. Like many of Jesus' parables, this one is ridiculous, and its ridiculousness teaches the point. This parable is not about employee practices. Employers should reward the hardest working laborers with better pay, and the lazy bums should be fired and sent home empty-handed. Okay, that's how this world should work. That's how this world does work typically when things are operating properly. But this parable is about God's kingdom. And in God's kingdom, the rewards are given not based on the merits of the laborers, but based on the generosity of the Lord. "Friend, am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?" The Lord is rich in mercy and goodness. and therefore freely gives to those whom he loves, apart from their merits and worthiness. This parable very clearly teaches that God is gracious, and that we are all saved by grace and not by works. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. At the end of the day, whether you were the Christian faithful since infancy, like St. Timothy, or you were the Christian faithful only for a few minutes before death, like the thief on the cross, God calls you into his kingdom to receive the rewards all as a gift. But the reward offered isn't just the wages due to you, but the reward is to be in the vineyard as part of the family. Look at verse 14. The master said, "Take what belongs to you and go." The master doesn't take away the man's money as a punishment, but he sends him outside of the vineyard. Based on the fact that bums and hard workers alike get money, it appears that the master doesn't care too much about the money, but is more interested in bringing laborers into his vineyard, which is why he's regularly calling for more laborers. This means that the denarius in the parable isn't the gift of eternal life. Perhaps the denarius is the temporal benefit of Christianity, however you want to define that benefit. The real gift that God gives is that he receives all of us by grace into his vineyard apart from our worthiness. This is something that the bums understand clearly because they obviously don't deserve to be in the vineyard, and the only treasure they're appreciating is that they're in the vineyard at the end of the day. They're not enticed by the promises of a denarius. They just want to be in the vineyard. These are the Christians who live lives of repentance and understand clearly that they don't deserve anything good. They're not presumptuous, but that they receive all as a gift. Think of the Lord in the parable here more like a father who wants to fill his house with children. Sure, maybe dad pays his kids some of the profits in the vineyard as a benefit. But at the end of the day, dad just wanted to work with his kids in the vineyard. He doesn't really care if they were that good at the work. He just wanted them with him. Our Heavenly Father wants us, his children, to dwell in his vineyard beside him, and his desire is that we would long to be with him more than want his temporal blessings he gives us. After all, the destination to which the Lord has called us is likened unto a vineyard. Shouldn't we desire to be in this place? He didn't call us into a ranch or a vegetable garden where we're raising and growing food just meant to nourish the body. But he called us into a vineyard. And what does a vineyard produce? Wine. Nobody needs to drink wine to survive. But we drink wine because it's delicious and it makes us feel good. Vineyards are for feasting and celebrating, for wedding feasts and parties. The kingdom of heaven is like a vineyard. And to be invited into the vineyard is to be invited into a place of joy, refreshment, and gladness. It's a blessing to get to work in the vineyard of the Lord. But it should also be noted, I suppose, that the Lord has called us to lives of labor. For we are his workmanship, we read in Ephesians 2, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are, in fact, called to labor in the vineyard, to bear the burden of the day in the scorching heat. It is going to be hard work. It is not an easy task to spend all day in the scorching heat working the soil, planting grapevines, building trellises, training and pruning the vines, hoeing the weeds, harvesting the grapes, and then still turning the grapes into delicious wine. God has called us to work and labor beside him. And sometimes this work is, in fact, very difficult work. Christians, your life of faith and virtuous living according to the commandments of the Lord, it doesn't come easily. We should acknowledge this. It's just as St. Paul wrote in the epistle today. Do not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. The labors of the Christian are sometimes very physical, right? St. Paul says he has to discipline his body. But primarily the labors of the Christian are not physical. So we're about to enter into Lent, and so there are physical labors you can utilize, like fasting or other such things. But primarily this is a spiritual battle. The labors of the Christian are therefore similarly spiritual. St. Paul writes in Ephesians, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm." The labors that we Christians have been called to work in do have physical components of the flesh, since we live in a fleshy world. And so this does mean that you must abstain from various sins using your body, and you must use your body to perform good works in service to your neighbor. However, whether you're abstaining from sin or serving your neighbor, you must primarily discipline your soul and gird it with the whole armor of God. You need the truth of God's word. You need the righteousness of Christ. You need the readiness of the gospel, which gives you peace. You need the faith, which guards you against the assaults of Satan. Laboring as a Christian in these ways is painstaking. It's akin to the labors of bearing the burden of the day in the scorching heat. But in the end, these labors are not to be hated or despised, since these are labors done in the vineyard. These are labors performed as Christians who are part of God's beloved family, and it is a blessing to work alongside Jesus and take up our crosses next to him. And you know what? It's a blessing and a joy, a privilege, to labor in the kingdom with our fellow laborers. What a joy that we are laborers together. We do not bear the burden of the day alone, but with one another. Together we have been called into the vineyard of the church. Together we are brothers and sisters, children of the master of the vineyard. And so the pain of the scorching heat is bearable as we labor together. We do not face the attacks of Satan alone. We are not tempted in isolation. But we are surrounded by a host of laborers who have our backs and will stand beside us no matter the trials. This is one of the devil's greatest temptations. One of his greatest lies is that you are all alone and that you are facing all of the devil's attacks, all of your sins, all of your temptations by yourself. As if you have to do this whole thing alone. You are not, though. That is a lie from the devil. You are one laborer among many. You have your brothers and sisters beside you, fighting with you. You're not alone. You do not have to bear the burden of the day in the scorching heat alone. Together, the Master has called us into his vineyard all by grace. None of us deserve to be in this marvelous place except by his generosity. And here we are in a place of feasting and rejoicing around the throne of the living God, dining at his heavenly altar. Although the evil one is like the sun that incessantly beats us down, we are surrounded by our fellow laborers. When Satan's attacks wear us down, we are nourished with water from the font and wine from the altar, whereby our sins are cleansed and the blood of Christ makes us fierce to face the day and abide in the kingdom of heaven forevermore. Amen. I hope you enjoyed this devotion of Our Savior's Lutheran Church. To learn more about our congregation, visit our website at oslcmankato.org or give us a call at 507-385-2180. God bless you.